John chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I kind of want to revisit something. I went over this in part at the gun show, and I wanted to kind of do the same thing here, but a little more detail in the time that I had. So, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when you look at that passage of Scripture there, that verse 14, that kind of gives you the picture of where we got our name, that verse, and then verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So it's kind of, we named the church Grace and Truth Baptist Church, over in Ocean Springs, there's a church over there called Jesus Christ Baptist Church. Well, ours is just another way of saying the same thing. It really is. All right, he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So something to think about, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask his blessing. And Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I pray you'd help me to just teach something that'd be a great blessing. And Lord, I know it will be, simply because it's the Word of God. But Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to study it. And I just pray you'd help me to make it clear. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Obviously, when you look at that first part of that passage, it tells us, that first few verses, it tells us, and verse 14 tell us clearly who Jesus is. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. A lot of times we focus on the fact that Jesus was a man. And he was a man. But he was more than a man. He wasn't just a man. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then He said in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it says that the one that was the Word, who was God, was with God and was God, and made all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses teach that Jesus was the first being God created, and then He used Him to create everything else. But that throws that completely out. It says, without Him was not anything. It said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by Him. Everything means everything. It doesn't mean everything but one. And the Bible says that this Jesus, this one who is the only begotten of the Father, who was made flesh, was God. And that's important. Jesus wasn't just a man or a teacher. He was God, who came down and took upon human flesh so that He would pay the penalty for our sins and offer salvation as a gift. Amen. You reject the gift, that's your fault. It's not His fault. If you die and go to hell, it will not be because the Lord didn't do everything possible to save you. God came down. And we like to sing that hymn, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. That's the whole picture. Jesus came from heaven. And it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's kind of the picture that we have here. People don't understand who Jesus is properly. They don't understand that He is God, and He became a man, and He died in our place, and He rose from the dead. And now He's ascended up to the right hand of God the Father. He's there, but he's still fully God. He's the Word. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, there we have God's Word, right? When we speak what? Words. So we look at it from our time, but you see the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You see them right there, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. Something in my chest here. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But you see that picture there. And so it says that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a misunderstanding, a lack of comprehension in darkness. And not just that, it goes to, it's actually a little deeper than that if you understand what it's talking about when it uses the, if you go to the word of comprehend. To comprehend means something, means you take it all in. You kind of see everything. All right. They don't see, people don't see God the proper way. They don't understand Him the proper way. They don't understand who Jesus is. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we have a fellow here by the name of John, and obviously it's John the Baptist he's talking about there. And he came to be a witness of light. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. And that is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's two things very important to see about that. One, John was not the light. No human being, no person, other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light. Any light we have is given to us of God. And it says that Jesus is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means that Jesus Christ is giving everybody an opportunity to be saved. He's giving everybody enough light to be saved. We don't always understand the hows and the whys or the wherefores, but we know that God's still working. We know that. That's why salvation is for everybody. That's why I believe salvation is for everybody. Everyone that comes into the world. That's very clear. And it says that John came to be a witness. He was sent from God to be a witness for the to bear witness of the light, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So God gave John the Baptist a responsibility to get the gospel out, to tell people to bear witness of the light that other people might believe, that all men might believe. Because people don't see, they have to be told. And so there's the picture that he has. He has that responsibility. And he says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I want you to see something. God sent John to be a light, to tell people about the light, to let people see. Even though John wasn't the light, And not only that, not only was John not the light, he was also not the power behind it. It wasn't John's charisma or abilities or anything else. God didn't need his abilities, he simply needed his availability. And he says, as many received, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So Jesus is the light. Jesus gives us the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe in his, on his name. And so therefore, it's not of mankind. Nonetheless, we have a responsibility that we're given. Right? Just like John was sent, we're sent. Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel to every creature. In the book of Mark, right? We've got these testimonies all the way through, and these charges to tell people and bear witness of the light. Verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by God. So salvation does not come from your bloodline. It's not genetically passed on, right? Salvation is not by the will of the flesh. It's not by your own self-will and self-effort. And it's not by the will of man. Somebody else can't pronounce you saved because you belong to a church or you've been baptized. You know, people baptize babies thinking that it's going to get them to heaven, but babies can't believe. And the simple fact is that the people that were baptized in the Bible were all believers. They all made a choice, didn't they? They all believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the picture of baptism. But we can use that, but we could use a lot of different things. A lot of people think that because they were raised in a church that they're going to go to heaven. But it's not by our own will. It's not by somebody pronouncing us saved or whatever. I can't pronounce you saved. I can only tell you of the Savior. You have to receive him. As many as received him. Now, I have all authority to tell you, and it's because of this I have the authority to tell you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have that authority. But it's not of man. And I want you to see something. I want you to see this from another aspect. One thing, we look at this and we see salvation is all of God. Jesus is the light. He's the one that gives people the power to be saved. He's the one that does things. God works in people's life, and but he uses us. He sends us. Which means, not only do we have a great privilege in being a part of that, but we have a great responsibility too, don't we? But the problem is, so often, we look at ourselves and we say, you know, I can't. I can't talk to people. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't accomplish that. But it's not by your power. John the Baptist was a faithful man of God. No doubt. But what did he do? He just obeyed what God told him to do. He obeyed the word of God. He just trusted God to do the work. He trusted God to do the work, and that's what we have to do. And when we talk about being a witness, when we talk about these things, and we talk so often, we look at ourselves and we put the responsibility on ourselves, but we don't have any responsibility other than to deliver the message. Obviously, we have the responsibility to live as a Christian because that's part of our witness and our testimony. But as far as taking the message out, we just have the responsibility to get it out. You know, we did these things for the community and everything, but that's not the end of it. We're sending missionaries out, but that's not the end of it. They can't reach everybody. We didn't reach everybody with this. Some people got two. That means some people got none. So there's a responsibility. We have families, we have friends, we have neighbors, we have all kind of people. And we're here to be a witness. We're told to let our light so shine before men that they may glorify your they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're told to do a lot of different things that we're as a Christian, but one of the things we're told consistently to do is to tell others about Jesus Christ, to share our testimony, to share what great things God has done for us. And a lot of times we look at that and we don't do it because we fear of our own ability. We're afraid of what people will think, what people will say, what people will do. And really, when it comes down to it, it's just a matter of living by faith. And this whole point makes it clear that it's God that does the work, not us. So just to hand out a gospel tract, simple thing. People get the idea, well, it doesn't do any good to hand out gospel tracts. It always does good to put the Word of God in somebody's hand. It always does good. It always does good to share the gospel with somebody. It always does good to tell people. You and I, we need to understand something. Just because things don't work in our hearing, in our sight, doesn't mean they don't work. Just because you can't see it, doesn't mean God's not working. God may be working and touching your heart about something right now, and I have no way of knowing. But you know, don't you? I've told you a story. I had one fella in the nursing home one time that I was preaching and he was just crying. And I thought, well, man, the Lord had touched his heart. And he was crying and he was, I thought maybe he'd be a good person to witness to. And I went up and tried to talk to him and he screamed at me. Just ugly, vile and mean, and cussed me out and everything. Didn't want me anything to be around him. And I think a month or so later, he was back in the service, and I was preaching, and he had tears in his eyes. And I was like, man, you know, I guess he just don't want to be here. But the Lord touched my heart, and I need to go talk to him. I went and talked to him, and he broke down in tears and trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. You don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. You don't know. But faith requires us to have some type of action, doesn't it? When it comes to everything we do, faith is always genuine faith that impacts the way we live. If I believe that God's going to work, then and God has the power, and God's the one that does the work, then it's not a waste of my time to just be obedient in a simple little thing like getting the gospel to people. Think about that. We're supposed to live by faith, right? I was talking to the people in the gun show today. And I made the point to them. I said, when we have our next election, you're going to go vote. Now, are you going to go vote just based upon what people say, or are you going to vote on based on what you believe? what you believe's going to make a difference. Whether you vote at all is going to be based on what you believe. There's a lot of people don't vote because they don't think it does any good. A lot of people don't vote because they don't care. They have other things more important. They don't do things. But the people that vote, they vote because of their beliefs. And that's all God's asking us to do, is to live on the basis of our beliefs. Do you believe God can take a piece of paper with the gospel on it and make a difference to somebody? Do you believe God can use your testimony, your halting, faulting testimony? I remember the first time I tried to lead a soul to Christ. And I stuttered and stammered and fumbled and everything else. But God still used it. Had a man trust Christ as Savior, bow our head and trust Christ as Savior on the ship. I felt like I butchered it completely. I felt there. But God used it. This is the work that God does. When we talk about being a witness for Christ, we talk about all these things. We need to understand the power of God. We need to understand the things that God does in this, the work that God does. We're just adding on to His work. We're just tools to be used and instruments to be used by Him. He's the one that does the work. You know, the mailman delivers the bills. He doesn't pay the bills. And he doesn't collect the money either, does he? He doesn't pay the bill and he doesn't collect the money. All he does is deliver the message. That's all we've got to do. So I just feel so unworthy. Well, okay, you were unworthy to begin with. But if you continue to neglect a simple command, are you ever going to feel worthy? If you talk about how you feel, you know, we feel unworthy because we neglect to do the things God wants us to do, right? So there's the little dirty little downward spiral, isn't it? We don't feel worthy because we disobeyed God here, so we don't obey God another way. But you know, if we just start obeying God in something, that would kind of help us with our self-esteem problems, wouldn't it? Think about that. So I just wanted to focus this idea of understanding who Jesus is and what He's doing. when we look at that and we believe what God's doing, then our little part isn't such a big sacrifice, is it? Our little part is I don't feel like I'm just it's not worth it. Our little part is not something that I feel like can't make a difference. We could use that same focus about prayer, about all the things of our Christian life, that the just shall live by faith. That's the way we're supposed to live, by faith. So very simple things that we would do in that regard, such as being a gospel witness. It has to be done in the fact that it's God that's actually doing the work. We're just delivering the mail. Our part is just to get it out there so that people can hear. How shall they hear? How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody to get the gospel to them? And every time we do that, God works. I've told the story about how my mama left us when we were little children. I was a year and a half old when mama left never saw her a day in my life. She had nothing to do with our family at all. She ended up having four of the children, two of whom I know where they are, the other two I don't even know if they're alive or dead. But the youngest two, we made contact with them. We made contact with them after my sister found out about Mama, and I've told the story about how I got to preach at my Mama's funeral and share my testimony but I prayed for her for 29 years after I got saved. Praying for a mother I didn't know. I wouldn't have known if she'd have walked up to me. I wouldn't have known who she was. And praying for her because God said to honor your father and your mother. And I said, okay, I got to obey that. How do I do that? Well, all I can do is pray for her salvation. And then come to find out that in her later years of life, that when she was humbled by cancer, that she had made a profession of faith and she was actually teaching Sunday school. And I believe that every time I pray for somebody that God moves. Especially if I pray for that which I know is God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Right? And the Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? You pray for the salvation of souls, God intervenes. God does something. He didn't override anybody's will. He didn't force anybody to get saved. But He certainly deals with their hearts. Whether it's praying, whether it's going, whether it's giving, whatever we may do, we're supposed to do it by faith. Why? Because it's God that does the actual work. It's God that does the work. Our job is just to believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. We have a culture today that is, we're losing our culture because our culture was founded upon the idea that our rights were God-given. They were inalienable. Now we have a culture that doesn't know the Lord and they think their rights are given at the whim or the generosity of the government. That's not where our rights came from. Our founding fathers understood that we had inalienable rights, and these are things that were ours by birth, given by God to every man. And hard for people to believe that when they don't know who God is. Or they don't believe there is a God. And the government's happy to step in and be God for these people. How does it change? Well, God's got to do a work in their heart. What's our part? Deliver the message. And trust God. That's simple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break till the morning preaching. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for each one that's here. And I pray, Lord, that You would bless each one with understanding. Lord, above all, help us to just be willing to trust You and do the simple things that You ask of us, to share the gospel, to share our testimony, to give out a tract, to do something to make a difference, to reach the people around us. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to realize that the work of saving souls is Your work, and we get to have a part. We're just thankful for it. Now help us to trust You enough to do our part. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.